Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. My guest is Georgia Umano. She is a vegan animal activist, a children's nature docent, an educator, including being an adult education teacher, a journalist with Splash magazines worldwide, and is a screen actor. She has authored her book, Terriers in the Jungle, a novel. She is also formerly the environmental director for Africa Child in Kenya, East Africa, and her book has received the first prize at the BookFest.com 2022, the gold medal for the National Association of Book Entrepreneurs, and a silver medal from the Independent Publishers Book Awards. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
I had a delightful read of your novel. It was charming. You incorporated your concerns about elephants in Africa and other wildlife, including rescue dogs here in the United States, and your concern for the communities in East Africa. The book is a charming novel about your two rescue dogs that you took to Africa and how they experienced a lot of different wildlife that obviously you don't see wild in Southern California, from elephants to crocodiles and monkeys. And I hear a dog in the background.
Yes.
Tell me why you chose to write such a beautiful story about your experiences in Africa through the novel approach rather than describing the horrendous problems of protecting wildlife and helping people in Africa.
Frankly, it just kind of happened spontaneously. I'm so in love with my dogs and I'm very close with them. Being in Africa had many delights as well as many dangers. The dogs had to be specially trained to be able to fly on all the airplanes. And then the ways people reacted with them was very different than it is here. Then their connections with all this wildlife, I could see the dogs changing and going through a lot of interesting and fun experiences, sometimes dangerous. But I just started writing them down because I was observing my dogs. Then it just evolved into this story, which is written by each dog from their own point of view. But it was able to incorporate a lot of the things that are important to me and why I was in Africa to help save the elephants and so on, but told through the dogs, because I would talk to the dogs and I would tell them things. And I know they can't understand everything, but they really do absorb a lot.
Elephants are threatened. Their population is diminishing all the time. And we still have to deal with the poaching issue. And you had one story in your book about how your dog actually helped a big tusker, one of the elephants with large tusks. How serious is this problem?
It is a serious problem throughout Africa. And back in about 2012-13, the poaching crisis was really severe. And then it kind of got under control, especially in Kenya. I've been to Kenya before a few times. When I was there in 2012, it was a disaster. Everywhere we went, there were dead animals, or we'd hear a story, 8 elephants were killed that night, etc. And it was too heartbreaking. So I didn't even go back for 5 years because it was too painful. But in Kenya especially, they got it more under control, the poaching. And unfortunately, in the rest of Africa, they still allow trophy hunting, and they're having much worse problems with poaching than in Kenya itself. But yet, even in Kenya, it started up again with COVID and the poverty. And then for some reason, I thought that ivory was taken off the market. But no, it's somehow it's back. It's a horrible problem all over Africa. Fortunately, Kenya, I think, is probably the best country as far as controlling the problem. And it's not their biggest problem with elephants right now. Well, actually, right at this moment, they're having drought. And elephants are dying and other animals are dying from thirst. When it's not the drought, the biggest problem was human-animal conflict, which is based on the population explosion in Africa. And people are building on the ancient migratory routes of the animals. And then the animals go through on their same routes that they've taken for hundreds of years, and they get shot. My goal was to try to do whatever I could to help elephants, and what I ended up doing was working with people who were from these rural areas. They're very disadvantaged, poor rural areas, these young girls who had been raped, and they didn't really know anything about elephants or nature. So my goal was to engender love and appreciation and knowledge about the animals and the nature so that they would become protectors and they would go back to their communities and they would become leaders.
It is important to have nature education in schools all over the world, and you want to help build a new school for these young women that turns them into wildlife conservationists and activists, because so many of the people in these countries in East Africa have never seen the wildlife except in a situation where it destroys their crops or threatens them, and they don't understand the value of preserving and protecting the wild animals. Many years ago, Kenya actually burned its ivory stock in order to stop poaching.
Yes.
Are they taking other actions to protect the elephants?
Well, yes, they have the Kenya Wildlife Service, and there's many rangers and there's many independent groups that work with the Kenya Wildlife Service, including Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, Big Life Foundation, Mara Project, and Hands Off Our Elephants. They have several really great conservationists there, and they work with the government to protect the animals, and they push the government to have stricter rules. And that's one thing that I really love about Kenya.
In your book, you also mentioned the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. And I know that in Nairobi, they have an elephant orphanage that they have had to create to save some of the babies when the large mothers and aunts are killed. You also are active in the Non-Human Rights Project here in the United States. They're trying to get the elephants to be considered sentient beings with the rights of human beings, and you're involved with the Wildlife SOS. So there are many other organizations working to try to protect wildlife. It must be difficult for you to decide where to spend your time and effort.
Maybe once in a while, but usually I follow my heart. Mostly that has to do with African elephants. I have good friends who have started Wildlife SOS in India, and I do support them also. And I do support getting the elephants out of zoos and circuses, and I've worked for that for a long time, even before I went to Africa the first time in 2010. I'm so in love with African elephants and Kenya itself. The people there are magnificent. The country is gorgeous. And the elephants are just amazing. It's a privilege to be able to help them.
Elephants actually in the wild roam quite a large distance. They need the space, and yet in captivity, whether or not zoos or circuses, they're very limited, and too often they are also chained and mistreated, and this is a serious problem.
Yes, it's very serious and very heartbreaking, especially in Asia. They put the baby elephants in what they call the box, and they just beat them for days. When they come out of that, they don't even know who their mother is, and that's how they get them to do what they want.
In your book, Terriers in the Jungle, a novel, you describe some of the different experiences of working with the community, of trying to save some of the animals. But you do it through the voice of two rescue dogs named Romeo and Roxy that you rescued here in Southern California that had been street dogs, and you had to train them to behave. Here in the United States, we're used to walking our dogs, and yet I was surprised when you described walking your dogs in Africa that people wanted to either have you give them to them or buy them.
Right. Yes, I feel very fortunate. I live in Santa Monica in Ocean Park, which used to be called Dog Town. because there's so many dogs here. And there's a lot of dog advocates here, too. But over there, it's not set up that way. And people are much poorer in general. When they do have a dog, they generally just feed it scraps and keep it outdoors all the time so it'll protect their property at night.
Different places, different people treat and care about animals in different ways, but we are all trying to make sure that people recognize the importance of protecting animals, treating them humanely. I had such a fun time reading your novel, which was just an easy read, pleasant, pleasurable, lots of twists and turns unexpectedly. But I also enjoyed the illustrations by two Kenyan illustrators. Could you tell me more about them?
Sure. These are two artists who I met while I was there, and I enjoyed their work. And they're both struggling artists. One of them actually works for the police department with training guard dogs, and the other one doesn't even have a job.
I look forward to seeing more of the work by Hilton Makan Makima and Moses Mugasia Misigo, because they really capture the dogs and the wild animals. I enjoyed your description of your dog encountering a camel on the beach.
Yes, that was fun.
It also had to be worried about crocodiles, and then it never seen a large bird like an ibis.
Right. Yes, the camel, that was the first animal that we encountered. There were a couple of people that kept these three camels and walked them up and down the beach and hoped to give rides to tourists. But the camels, there weren't too many tourists there. So the camels would just kind of lounge in the sand. So the very first day we got there in Kwale, we went for a walk on the beach, and the dogs were just so happy because they had been cooped up in airplanes and cars, and they were running down the beach, and all of a sudden, Roxy runs smack dab into this camel who's lying there, and she's right next to his head, and his head was bigger than her whole body.
In order to protect wildlife, it's important that tourists bring in dollars to help the economy, and wildlife safaris are absolutely incredible in East Africa. Is the money being utilized to help the local people and conservation work for the wildlife?
Yes, I would say a lot of it is. The people who work at those safaris, the natives, they're very well educated and very much nature lovers and appreciators, and they're very, very gracious to tourists. It's just a wonderful tourist industry.
I wish we had more time to talk about the various encounters that you had and that you expressed in your book. Can you give us one or two more quick stories about you and your dogs meeting some of the other wildlife in Africa?
Sure. When we first got there, we came in through Tanzania because the rules and regulations for bringing dogs into Kenya was very severe, and they keep them in quarantine, and you have to evidently pay a bribe to get them back. So through a friend of mine who lives in Kenya part-time, she showed me that I could go through Tanzania to a certain veterinarian who helped us get papers to get an entrance visa into Kenya. So we drove up through Kwale. So when we were in Kwale, the dogs met monkeys. And there were so many monkeys, and they were very playful, and they just couldn't believe it. They were just going out of their minds. And so when we went up to Nairobi, they had monkeys, but they were kind of different. They acted not as friendly, and we found out it was because the house was on the edge of a forest, and they probably considered it to be their land where these houses were built. So they would stare at us, and they would stare in the windows. It would make the dogs a little bit crazy. A little bit after that, there was some baboons came through, and these people that were our landlords, they were actually from another country, but they were determined to get rid of the baboons, and they were talking about shooting the big baboons so they would go away if they didn't go away within a few days. I could tell the dogs were, like, really upset, and luckily the baboons did go away.
There's so many great stories and adventures that I look forward to the follow-up novel of Terriers in the Jungle. You have definitely provided great, easy reading for young adults and adults alike. Your book deserved the many awards that it received. I want to thank you so very much for your concern about domestic and wild animals. Thank you for being my guest.
Oh, thank you so much. It's lovely, and thank you for all your appreciation of my work. I really appreciate that.
I have been speaking with Georgia Umano, who is author of Terriers in the Jungle, a novel, is an educator, journalist, and screen actor. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.